You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
I had to travel for my job this week. I was in Washington, D.C., and I was pretty much there all week. And on Friday, I was scheduled to fly out. And I go to the airport, and I get there early because I'm ready to come home. And guess what happens? They delay my flight. It's no problem. Get my flight delayed. It's still going to get out of there. There is a big, massive storm going through the area between Dayton and D.C., but it's dry in Dayton, and it's basically dry in D.C., right? So we just got to get in the air, and I'll be able to get home. It'll be great. Well, they delay my flight again, and they delay it again, then they cancel it, then they reschedule me, they cancel it, they book me on another flight going to Chicago, and then from Chicago I get to Dayton. I think that's going to be okay because the storm, it's not affecting Chicago, right? Flight goes to Chicago is fine, but the flight going from Chicago to Dayton gets canceled. Before I even leave D.C., so I'm like, how am I going to get home? They finally reschedule me, and the flight would get me home in Dayton at 8:30, I think, yesterday. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So I took the flight to Chicago, grabbed a rental car, and drove home, which got me home about 6 a.m. Saturday morning. I did not have a bad week, right? It's not a bad week, especially when you think about what the people in Florida went through this week, right? Or what other people. There's people in our very own church that have had a harder week. So I just praising God that he gave me patience to deal with all that, because some people don't have that. You can see them at the airport. They get upset. But believe me, the airlines do not want to be in that situation, right? So before I begin, I would like to pray for the families down in Florida and what they're going through, all right? Please join me if you would. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I just want to lift up these families. And right now, they're going through incredible grief, and we have seen your hand at work in many ways, because there were people who were literally heroic, and they demonstrated great love, and that they gave their life, literally gave their life, so that other people's lives could be preserved. And I believe that that example is something that you are using and having an impact upon the kids and the people of that community. But yet, Lord, there's cameras and there's eyes all over from the nation looking upon them. And some of the people are full of anger, and they don't know how to deal with their loss in a right and healthy way. And some of it's understandable. They're just kids, and they've lost friends that they thought would be around for years. But I pray, Lord, in the face of this great evil, that you would do something good with it. And I pray that you would comfort these families and friends of people who have lost loved ones. And I pray that you would help them with their grief. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach them and help them to embrace forgiveness for those who have wronged them. For it is the only path to peace in the situation that they are in. We put them into your hands, and we ask for your help today. In worshiping you and lifting up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are beginning a new series today. It is called Interruption, or The Church Interrupted. And the series is going to be looking at the life of Abraham and how God breaks in and interrupts at times, how he does things to set us on a new course or direction or reveal himself. And so today, the very first of these messages is called the call. It is when God breaks in and presents us with a call that he wants us to respond to and answer. Before we get into the scripture and start to look at what God did in Abraham's life, I would like to share with you one of the times that God has called me in my life, and in particular, the call that has set me on a path which actually has put me in front of you now instead of sitting alongside of you. And that was the call into ministry. I hadn't realized it until I started preparing for this message, but it is 20 years ago this month that the Lord presented his call to me for ministry. And the way it began about 6 months earlier than that. It was June, and I was reading a book, the Bible, actually. I was reading the book of Mark in chapter 2. And in that is a story about four guys who grab a friend of theirs who's paralyzed, and they take him to the foot of Jesus. And in order to get to him, they had to get around this crowd and bust open a hole in the roof and lower him down into the midst of this crowd at Jesus' feet so that he could be healed. And I just read the story, and I closed my Bible, went to sleep, and this is the one and only time that the Lord has ever really approached me and revealed himself in this way, but he began to speak to me. It wasn't a dream. He just starts talking to me while I'm asleep. And he begins to explain to me, and I've never delivered this sermon, but he starts to give me a sermon about this story, and I've never delivered it here yet. I haven't felt led. But it's about the four guys. And the four guys, he starts to explain, are each a type of faith that needed to be exhibited in order to get that guy to the feet of Jesus. And so he starts talking about the guy number one. Then he goes to number two. And then he like wakes me up in the middle of while he's talking. He doesn't miss a beat. I mean, his words just keep on flowing. But I like wake up and I sit up in my bed and he continues to explain to me about the third one. And then after he gets done with the third one, he stops and he doesn't tell me the fourth one. And I go, what about the fourth one? Okay. And he doesn't say anything. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, why doesn't he tell me about the fourth one? And I'm like, I must need to go on a journey to explore and find out what the fourth one's about. He's going to reveal it to me as I search after it. One of the things that was unique, it was a sermon, and I didn't have a platform for delivering sermons. I wasn't preaching, and no one ever asked me to. So I was a teacher, and I knew what a teaching message was. I'd received many of those. But this was different. So I started to consult friends of mine, people that I had confidence in, and told them about my experience and tried to see if they would have anything beneficial to guide me in searching out what this meant in my life. And there was a gentleman who I met with for lunch, and he suggested that I might want to check out ministry classes in preparing for the ministry. And I was like, yeah, I don't feel like God's wanting me to quit my job or anything. He's like, oh, we have something on site that you can sign up for and still go to and keep your job and still take these classes. I said, all right, I'll check it out. So I requested a bunch of information through my pastor. We made phone calls. We made multiple requests for information. Months go by, nothing happens. Nothing. And my pastor's a little frustrated, and I'm not frustrated. I'm just searching out what God wants me to do. So one morning in prayer, I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I've knocked on this door multiple times. It doesn't seem to be opening for me. I said, after today, I am going to just close the door on taking ministry classes, unless you have it in the mail today. Then I'll take it that you want me to do it, but I'm closing this door. And literally, when I got up from my prayer, I had closed the door in my mind. I didn't think it was going to show up. But guess what was in the mail that day? Exactly. So I signed up for the classes, and in September, I started to take the classes. We go through the first quarter, And I still don't really feel a call to ministry yet. And it's kind of interesting. They'd ask you at the beginning of class, what do you feel your call is? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just kind of searching things out, trying to figure out if God's calling me or something. And everybody else is like, well, I'm called to be a minister, or I'm called to be children's pastor. And I'm just like, well, I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to. And it was uncomfortable, right? Okay. So second quarter, my instructor wants everybody to get up and give devotionals. And 10-minute devotionals, start the class off, and then he would follow up with the rest of the lesson. And it was my time to give mine, and I decided or felt led to give my devotional on prayer. And a 10-minute devotional, anybody want to guess on how long my devotional went? No.
Longer than 10.
Anybody want to guess how much longer? 45 minutes my devotional was. Now, it wasn't my fault. It was God's fault. Because in the time of my devotional, all of a sudden, the classmates, they all started to just respond. And there was this thing that God did, and everybody was contributing. It wasn't just me speaking. I mean, I would respond to them, but then somebody else would jump up and say something, and before it just kept going on for about 45 minutes. And the instructor let it go on the whole time, but when it was over, I was sitting down at my seat, and the instructor was like right over here, and he was walking up, and he was setting his papers and everything in order, and he gave me this look. And it was the look like, I know it's not your fault, but I really don't like it that you just used up so much time, okay? And that's the look that he had on his face. So I'm going, what can I do about it? And I'm just, you can kind of see there's a little awkward moment here going on, and the Lord breaks in. And in that moment, I don't know how to describe it other than the way that I'm going to try. There was an experience where I felt like time came to a stop, and there was like this winding feeling in it, like it wound down to a stop, and then there was boom, and there was like a moment in between time, and it was like right in that moment, God's voice spoke to me, and he said, you will speak for me, and then it went boom, there wasn't really a boom, but I mean, it was like time wound back up to normal. And I don't know why God did it that way. I can't explain it. I can guess, but I don't really know. So I don't say. But I know that that's what I experienced. And I know that that was my call to ministry. I knew that he was telling me that I want you to speak for me in a ministerial aspect. Now, when I was growing up, I was always told, don't go into a preaching ministry. Don't go into ministry unless you know that that is the only way that you can get to heaven. Okay? Now, that's what I was told. Not everybody is necessarily raised that way, but that's the way I was raised. And they wanted to emphasize that God will call you and make it perfectly clear that that's what you have to do to please him if you're called. And people used to say to me when I was young, it's like, are you called to ministry? Because they'd hear me speak or something. And I'd say, nope, I'm not called to ministry. I'd be fine with it if he did, but I'm not called. And I was pretty adamant. Like, if God's big enough, he can make it pretty clear to me if I'm called to ministry. And so this happened until I was 30-some years old. And then I got a call. So that changed the course of my life. It changed the direction of things. I started making sure that I invested in these ministerial classes. I started trying to understand what it meant to go into ministry, what was expected of me, and I started preparing for that. And then it opened up opportunities for ministry. And one of those happened to be here. And I'm thankful for it. But it didn't stop there. So God says, you're going to speak for me. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with that. I can do that. A couple weeks later, there's a friend of mine. She's an evangelist. Her name's Elaine, and I mention her from time to time. She was having revival services down in Monroe. It's Monroe Church of Nazarene. And I went down to visit her, and in the middle of her message, she says these words. She says, "Do you know what a prophet is? A prophet is someone who speaks for God." And it was just like the Holy Spirit drew this out and fired it right at me. And I was like, whoa, God, I'm not really crazy about this, that kind of idea. I mean, speaking for you is one thing, but what are you talking about? Because in my rearing, we didn't call people prophets, generally. We recognize the function of prophet in prophesying and that it's important. But to call somebody a prophet, that was very unusual for me. So I didn't really kind of push away on that. So then a couple more weeks goes by because the Lord knows I'm needing some help with this. So I have a really good friend. I'm going to meet him for lunch. And he was the music minister at the West Carolina Church while I was there at that time. A good friend of mine, his name's Harry. And Harry was, very godly man, but sometimes he's like the absent-minded professor, and he kind of forgets things or whatever, and a lot of my friends are like that. Ryan's like, you know, he's like, So Harry doesn't show up for lunch. I call him, hey, Harry, where are you at? Oh, yeah, I'm on my way. And he finally shows up, and I'm sitting in a booth, and he slides in across from me, and he's carrying his Bible, and he's kind of rushing in, and then he flops his Bible open, and he looks at me, and he says, "You know, I felt like I was supposed to read this to somebody else, but now I feel like I'm supposed to read it to you." I'm like, "Okay, Harry, what's on your mind? Read it." And I'm thinking he's going to read me something, and he's going to want my response about what I think about it and that kind of thing. He flops open his Bible. He's at Ezekiel, and there is a passage within Ezekiel that is called the call of a prophet. And that's what he reads to me. And it says, "Whether the people listen to you or not, they will know that God has been in their midst." And I'm like, "Okay, God, I hear what you're saying." I open up my heart to whatever it is you're saying. I don't know what it means. I still don't know what it means. And I definitely don't want to carry a title of prophet. But I do believe it means when God puts something on your heart, you need to say it. You need to tell people. And so I've been preparing myself and trying in every way that I know how to listen to God and to tell people the truth about what he wants them to hear. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, and sometimes people want to hear it. A call can really mess up your life in the sense of if you have plans and you think you're going to go in one direction and God comes in, he can take you in a completely different direction. But there's one thing that I want you to know about the call. God has your heart and mind. And not only does he want to bless you, but he wants to bless others through you. And every call, it doesn't have to be a call to ministry. It can be a call to, you know, feed the homeless. It can be a call to work with children. It can be a call to lead in worship. It can be a call, who knows what God wants to do. But when he calls you, the thing to do is follow and trust him. And that's what today is about. So we're going to go look at the life of Abraham and look at the time that God came in and called him. A little background about Abraham. He lived with his family in a city that is called Ur. And if we have our map come up, we've got a map. Ur would be located in Iraq, down here, a little north of Kuwait, along the Euphrates River. That's where that would be. And he lived there. He had three brothers. His youngest brother died while they were still living in Ur. And Abraham, he was first named Abram, so I should call him that. Abram married a woman, and her name was Sarai. The father of Abraham, Abram, decided that he wanted to move, and he was going to move to Canaan. Now, Canaan is basically the land of Israel, so it would be basically due west from where they lived. But somehow in this journey of going to Canaan, his dad ends up in southern Turkey, just above Syria. And I can't explain exactly why he went there, because I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know that that's where he ended up. I'm kind of wonder, because it was ultimately God's will for Abram or Abraham to make his way to Canaan, if he wasn't working on his dad first. But his dad didn't follow through all the way. It says his destination was Canaan, but he didn't end up there. So, that's where Abraham is, or Abram is, at the time that God comes in. A couple other things about Abram is his family was well-to-do. So he was not poor. He was pretty wealthy. His name, if you're not familiar with it, in Hebrew is pronounced Avram. Avram. And in Hebrew, that means the father of many. Av, A-V, is the word for father. So he was the father of many, but he and Sarai were unable to have any children. So his name was kind of a mockery to himself. Okay. His heart desperately longed to have kids. So it wasn't just that his name, but his very heart desired to have children, and they were unable to have children. So now we'll begin with the story. We were starting in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." We'll stop on this verse for just a moment. So this is the call that Abram is receiving. And he says, "I want you to leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family." So the Lord is saying, everything that you're familiar with, everything that defines you, everything about your life that you are comfortable with and you understand, I want you to cut that off and leave it. So God's not asking for what would be, in Abram's mind, a small thing. This is a large thing. And then he says, and I want you to go to the land that I show you. Wherever I lead you, that's where I want you to go. So leave everything that you understand, leave everything that you're comfortable with, and follow where I direct you to go. See, this is one of the things about a call, is that God may ask us to leave what is comfortable and to go into something that is not comfortable. He may ask us to disconnect ourselves from things that seem to define us. And this is part of who I am, and say, leave that behind, because I have something new to define you. And then lastly, he tells us to go where he wants us to go, which means we have to trust him. And once we become uncomfortable in leaving, now we have to trust him in wherever it is that he is going to create a new comfortable for us. So Abraham, one of the things about Abraham in his life is that he is one of the pinnacle characters in Scripture that the Bible points to understand faith. Because his entire life, at this point from when he received the call until as he followed God, was an example of trusting in God, having faith in God. Faith that was exactly like what God wants us to follow. Because Isaiah even says, look at Abraham and Sarah and their example of faith, and remember them, and basically mimic what it is that they did. And we go to verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. So the thing is that now if you understand that Abram has this deep desire. I mean, he's got wealth. He's got a family. He's got a lot that the world would look at and say, you've got it going on, Abram. And yet in his heart, he aches because he doesn't have any children. And God says, I will make you a great nation. That means he's got to have children, because you can't become a nation if you don't have any kids. So Abraham trusts and believes, even though he doesn't know how God's going to make this happen, he believes that God's going to make it happen. God's going to give him his heart's desire. And then not only that, he says, I will bless you. I will make you famous. Now, I don't know if Abram was really desiring to be famous or not, but just look at what God has done with him. We talk about this man all over the entire world. We look at him. The prophets have pointed back to him and say, look at the example of his life. And then he says, and you will be a blessing to others. And this is the thing about the call to remember, that when God comes in and he calls you, he's calling you not only to take care of your heart and bless your heart, because he wants to do that, but he's going to bless others through you. I had this idea about God. I want you to elaborate just on a point. And the idea of God wanting to give us our heart's desires. There was two guys. I was teaching a young adult class, and two gentlemen in the class at different times approached me and asked me to pray that God would give them $1 million. One of the guys came up to me, talked to me about it. I said, no, I can't do that. The second guy came up to me, and I said, yes, I will agree with you on that prayer and pray that God gives you $1 million. Want to hear the rest of the story?
Sure.
All right. So the first guy, he was, to understand the situation, he was like learning disabled. And he would come to my class. He had great questions, but he didn't retain the answers to those questions a lot. So he'd ask those questions again a few weeks later, same questions. Fantastic questions, many that I wish other students would ask. So, but that's kind of like his situation. And one of the things, he didn't have a girlfriend or a companion, and he wanted a companion. So he got up this idea that if he had some money, that maybe somebody would like him, would actually love him. And so he wanted to ask God for $1 million so that he could basically have a girlfriend and maybe even a wife someday. And I told him, I said, that's just the wrong reason to ask for that kind of money. I mean, if you want me to pray that God give you a girlfriend, I will do that, but I'm not going to pray that God gives you $1 million, right? He meant well, but it was the wrong prayer. It was a prayer out of the wrong place of his heart. Now, the second guy, in which I agreed with, he came up to me and he said, I want to ask the Lord to give me $1 million in the course of my lifetime, because my family has had a curse of poverty on it. And I'm asking the Lord to break that curse of poverty so that I'm not asking him to give it to me all at once. I just want him to bless me so that I'm able to accumulate that much. And I said, you know what? I want the Lord to break that curse off of you too. And I'm willing to agree with you on that prayer. So you see how the nature of the heart, what the heart truly wants? God doesn't want to give us everything we ask for. He wants to give us our true heart's desires. Does God want the guy to have companionship? Absolutely. The guy that asked for it. But $1 million was not a true path to true relationship. In verse 3, we go on. God says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. You see that God's going to, he's going to go with Abram. And he's basically saying, and I'm going to protect you. And if people bless you, I'm going to bless them as a sign that I'm with you. And if people come against you, then I'm going to come against them as a sign that I am with you. And all of the families will be blessed through you. All the families on earth. See, the call that God has on somebody isn't just about God making sure that you get blessings or you getting your heart's desire. It is about what God wants to accomplish in the world by blessing other people through you. Anybody remember how old Abram was when God called him? Anybody got any idea? What? 75. If I had something to give you, I would. So, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years old. See, God can call you when you don't really expect him to. And of course, this became an issue later on as you go into Abram's life, because he gets quite a bit older before he has a child through the Lord's promise. But you got to go when he calls you. And you're never too old. If you think you're too old and God's calling you, you're not too old. God knows what he's doing. Verse 5, he took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. So where did God end up taking Abram? He took him to a foreign country, and he became a foreigner in that land. That land was filled with people with different customs, a different culture. He stood out. He was not one of them, particularly at first, when he first gets down there. And the Lord shows him this land that's filled with all kinds of people. It's got cities and commerce going all around him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give your descendants all of this land that you see. And all Abram has to accept this is faith in God. He believed in the person and character of God that he was getting a true promise. And he believed in that. And this is why he is looked at as like the father of faith. Because he believed God on purely nothing but a word from him. Verse 7, this is the last one. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Whenever you receive a call and you start to respond and that it is a good idea to build an altar to the Lord in your heart for what he is calling you to. The reason is because as you pursue the call, there's going to be times when you are challenged by it. I'm going to tell you that me personally, I'm just as fine sitting in the chairs next to you as being up here. And I have coached and mentored, say, like Pastor Jessie. I told her when she's getting into this, you don't do this because people are going to love you and appreciate what you do for them and everything like that. And that does happen. But that there's also people who don't. The reason that I do what I do is because I do it for God. And there's the only one reason. And if he told me tomorrow, you don't have to do this anymore, I would quit. I'm just not, I'm just telling you. It's it would be easier to not do it, right? I do it for him. And then he chooses to, he blesses my heart through it. I would hate to see some of the great things that I see happen in people's lives. But I do it for him. And because of that, he blesses other people's lives through it. And I want you to understand something. Me being up here doesn't make me any different than any of you. This is just my call. Your call could be singing, or your call could be being a small group leader in some place, or working with the kids or whatever. Whatever your call is, God wants to bless other people through you. And I believe that he has a call for everybody. This is only one of the calls that I've received in my life. There was a series of small calls that led up to that one. I was a small group leader teacher for years before I ever got to that. So I want you to understand, and I want you to look for, that God has a call for you. If you bow your heads now. The first question is, do you feel like you have a call in your life? And if you do, go back to that and make sure you've got an altar built up to that and tell the Lord that you are committed to the call that he has put upon your heart and life, that you will follow him and lead him wherever you go, wherever he leads you. But if you don't feel like you've had a call upon your life and it's not clear, and you're willing to allow the Lord to move you into places that are uncomfortable, that you will trust him, then invite him to extend a call to you. Don't worry about when it's going to come. Just let that be up to him. But tell him, Lord, I want a call from you. I want to know where, I want you to lead me wherever you want me to go. I want you to understand something. A call is tied to your heart. He wants to fulfill your heart's desires. But while he's also fulfilling your heart's desires, he also wants to bless others through you. And those two things will be tied together. The call could very well challenge you in deep ways, challenging your trust and your faith in God in order to pursue it. You may need to leave what is comfortable and create a new comfortable place for you. You may have to abandon an identity that you carry around and associate with yourself in order to embrace a new identity to fulfill what God is calling you to. But be willing to do that, and God will provide everything that you need to do that. But lastly, a call cannot be pursued out of fear. It must be pursued out of trust and love for God. Now I want to ask each of you, keep your heads bowed. Are there any of you that feel like God is working on you or speaking to you here today? And if so, just raise your hand. All right. There's many hands. Let me pray for you now. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one that has made the confession that you are speaking to them and working upon them today. You have a call for each and every one of us. And for those who have heard your call and are responding to it, maybe they're struggling and moving forward with it, Lord, I just pray that you would renew within their heart and desire the fact that you have called them, and help their faith to know that you are going to provide for them. For those, Lord, that are not necessarily following your call, maybe they're struggling with it or dealing with it, trying to move forward on it, I just pray that you would help them to take that step of faith, that they know that they should just move forward on that. And for those who are not sure that they've had a call yet, Lord, I pray that you would make it clear to them that not only you have a call for them, but you will help them with it all along the way. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless them with their heart's desires as the call is tied to that. And I pray that you would bless them so that they are a blessing to others. for this should certainly be a mark of your children, Lord. I pray that they would not have fear for anything that they would have to go encounter, but Lord, that they would have hope and confidence that you are going to help them wherever it is that you lead them, and that you are going to make them fruitful wherever they go. And I pray that they would pursue you out of a deep love and trust in who you are. And you would reveal yourself in whatever way is necessary so that is established and stays strong in them. May you use this people and this church, Lord, to be a blessing to others in the world and in the community in which we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.